Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
North Dakota, Jonathan Toews.
Commit to us. Commit to the jersey. Commit to our people here.
Welcome to Monday Morning Deep Dish. My name is Shepard Price. With me today, the new version of the show, as always, LBR.
Hi.
And Mill.
Who's hey, what's going on?
a familiar voice by for sure. Now a part of the Monday Morning Deep Dish crew. So
happy to be here.
With that said, yeah, happy to have you. With that said, let's talk about the NHL entry draft. It's about a month away now.
Yep.
So the lottery was last week. Congratulations are in order to the Buffalo Sabres, who deserve the first overall pick.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm glad that at last place team finally won when it wasn't the year that the Wings were the last place team.
Yes. Yes. And Buffalo also got the last sort of consensus number one defenseman in Dahlin. So we'll see if own power makes a difference there. And also to the Seattle Kraken, who got number two in the lottery.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah, they're about to have the second best expansion draft of all time. Yeah. Why don't they need a franchise potential player on that roster too? But with that said, the Blackhawks got number 11, falling out of the top 10. But I don't think they actually fell any places because both Seattle and Buffalo were ahead of them. So didn't fall in the order. They just didn't rise.
Right.
It does open up a lot of possibilities for the Blackhawks because past like number two, maybe number three in this draft, nothing is for sure. There is no set draft order. And that's said every year, but like this year for sure, it's like up in the air of who's going to get drafted where.
Yeah. This year is special. And it's going to be very weird and it's going to be really interesting, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I was gonna say, like, it's very like the last few years have been like this too. Like, it's like top two, three guys, and then it's kind of a crapshoot.
Yeah, yeah. There's guys who can go like the ranges on guys are going like more and more like wide and where they could be drafted. Like, wasn't Reichel like 8 to 25?
Yeah, he was weirdly. And on top of that, I think there's been a bigger skew between what teams are thinking and what like public facing supposed scout experts are thinking, because they have not matched up super well, like for like maybe 3 or 4 years in a row. Like nobody had Doc, a lot of people had Doc top five, but maybe not top three. Some teams thought they were like lists thought they the Blackhawks reached for him, but then their stories came out and said the Avs wanted him. And a couple of other teams right after them were like, kind of like, damn, they wanted Doc. And none of the Cronman and all of them were like, yeah, that's who I picked. So I think this is an interesting draft because we've seen this trend of bigger ranges. There's not a lot of scouting for this one. It was already considered a kind of a weakish draft, but more in the sense of there so many players are so similar to each other. They're like all around the same age, and then skill level. And then there's been such a big gap between public facing lists and what teams actually have on their rosters.
Yeah. And partially that's because of the season that's happened this year where the OHL never played. And that's like the number one CHL league in terms of developing talent. Mm-hmm. The QMJHL played like 40 games, which is half their season. The WHL barely played. Like all these places that are really renowned for like developing talent didn't play a ton of games. And like the only place that really did was the NCAA.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's really weird too for the Hawks right now because they just went through the spell of drafting all these defensemen and then getting Doc, who's supposed to be a guy who jumps in the lineup right away. So it's kind of like, unless you're getting a top pick, like what do you want them to even look for? You know what I mean? It's such a weird situation right now because their roster is not terrible.
Yeah, I think this draft, because of how weird it is, there might be more, because, you know, there's always the, hey, you need to get the best player available.
Yeah.
But because there is such a difference of opinion of and such a varied opinion of who might actually be the best player available whenever any team picks, that some teams are going to lean a little bit more towards like balancing best player and position needed. But I don't know what the position needed for the Hawks is, because like you said, we have lots of defensemen, but do we still have a true number one? Well, they're still not super stocked on centers unless like Reichel ends up playing there. They're kind of shallow on right wings currently, but they have some in the system, not a huge amount. Like what would they pick? So yeah, the Blackhawks are in a really interesting, they need a little bit of everything. even though the roster's not terrible right now.
Yeah. And in a weird, like you said, in a weird scouting year too, they might depend on like the guys they've seen the most, which is why like a guy like Matthew Coronato from the Chicago Steel could probably be the pick at number 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing with the Hawks right now too is like they've been good at developing forwards for a long time. So I feel like they might lean that way just because if you get a guy who's been a center and he's been really good his whole career, he might turn into something. You can even put him on a wing or on a third or fourth line at the NHL level. But I feel like I don't know how they feel about the defensemen right now, especially with like Beaudin and Mitchell not playing a lot.
Yeah, the problem is I don't see how a number one defenseman falls to them. Like there's some guys with potential to be number one defenseman, Owen Power for sure. But then guys like Luke Hughes and Brant Clark are in this draft.
They're not at 11 though, right?
Totally. No, exactly. Yeah, I don't see them falling that far.
And same thing with Edvinson. He's not going to fall.
Yep.
He seems to be, everybody wants him to be the next headman. He actually plays a little bit more like, if you want to compare him to another Swedish one, a little bit more like OEL. Oh my God. Why am I not?
Oliver Ekman Larson.
Yes. Yes. I'm like, it's because that's how I type his name every time.
LBROEL.
Yeah, nobody has time to type everybody's name out, okay? but there's not, I think like maybe Lambos is the only one that's going to be in that mid. Carson Lambos, who played, he's Canadian, but he played in the lower Finnish league, I want to say this
past. SM Saria. Yeah.
Yeah. And supposedly he did really well over there. Like he really impressed, got up to the second pairing. But I just don't, you know, he's ranked anywhere between 15th and in the second round. So it's like, I don't know. I don't know if he's worth, you know, like taking if he's a little bit lower. But so I don't even know if there's going to, you're right, I don't think there's going to be necessarily be a defenseman there that will impact the prospect pool enough to grab him.
Yeah, I just don't think the Hawks have either. Like, they haven't been developing defensemen at that rate, and the system's weird, and we talk about all that. I don't know that they'll want to take a shot at somebody at 11 that's not a surefire talent like that.
Yeah, they, like, the last surefire NHLer the Blackhawks developed that's, like, done something worth noting besides Boqvist is Nicklas Hjalmarsson, and that's a decade ago.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like, oh, shit, he came up 08, 09, so he drafted the round before that.
To be fair, I think Steven Johns probably would have been a very good top four defenseman if he hadn't gotten
wrecked.
Well, yeah, there's like a list of guys who've gotten either hurt or traded.
Yeah. But the other problem with Steven Johns, though, is that he wouldn't have been developed by the Blackhawks. It would have been developed by the Dallas Stars system.
Well, I mean, he had 1 year in the AHL with the Blackhawks, and then he was under them when he was in the NCAA. So they had a hand in his primary year, like his first few years development. And then he went to the Stars, and then he pretty much made their team out of camp. I want to say that very first year after the Sharp trade, I think he was already starting to play a little bit, and then he got sent down again. But yeah, it's annoying. They have drafted a couple of good guys, and the ones that they have drafted have left or been injured, and then nobody else has come up, you're right, since Hammer. So
yeah,
you just have to hope that what we've got will eventually work, or they have to supplement through trading. But I just don't, I think taking a defenseman, unless a miracle happens and people are turned off by Edvinson, is the one of, I think, those the big four that might drop. He's like the unicorn because he's so big and he moves very well for his size, but he doesn't really have as standout defensive like capabilities or offensive abilities that the other ones have. I don't think he has much offense at all, really.
This is Edvinson, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he can offense, obviously, but I don't think it's not as much of a natural. It's the reason why when people say he could be Hedman, I'm like, can he? Because I don't think he has Hedman's hands or instincts. But
yeah, he had a point and assist in 10 SHL games this season.
Yeah. And even before that, I don't think he had much. He's very good defensively. I think he's good defensively. And again, very big.
Yeah, and I think that's a combination of things the Blackhawks really need with Beaudin and Mitchell and Boqvist coming up, and maybe Regula too.
Yeah, so if he magically fell to the 11th spot because other teams are a little scared about his lack of offense, then jump on him. But otherwise, I don't think there's going to be a defenseman there that in that range that they should reach for.
Yeah.
I think something that they at least should be paying attention to is who maybe is the fastest or best skater available at their draft position, because not just with Colleton's defensive system and them on the rush and all that, but the way the league is shifting, they need to get a little bit faster.
Yeah.
Which is, so the couple of players that have been, linked to the Hawks, you have Coronado, you have Lucius and
Cole Sillinger.
Yeah, yes. Those are the three that often get attached to them. And I don't, like, Lucius is not fast to me. Like, he's
fine. Yeah, he's not a burner. But also, too, the I've only seen him in USA stuff, and they play kind of clunky.
They do. I don't think... So Coronado is a great, he's very, very good at what he does because he scores really well, and he's got that instinct that like a DeBrincat has, you know, like he just knows where to be and be in open space, and very sneaky about where he gets, how he gets there. But he's also 5'10" and light. So I do not think size matters.
No, size doesn't matter as much as it once did. And I think looking at how small relatively the Avalanche are, who were supposedly the best team in the NHL.
Yeah, but they at least are somewhat balanced in size. So I don't think size should be a complete determining factor, but if you're putting a bunch of kids that are right next to each other and they're very similar in skill, and you go, well, maybe I'll take a chance on the slightly bigger one. Not because just if everything else is pretty equal, that could be a determining factor to me. Yeah. And I mean, the top line of the Avs are pretty hefty. I mean, Rantanen and Landeskog both like 2'10" or bigger.
I think the strength is more what we're looking for than the size.
Yes. And Cornado has, I can't remember where I read it, but somebody was like, he just screams complimentary top six, but his like probably cap is going to be a second line. Which is fine, because I'm not sure you're going to find that many forwards that are going to necessarily break out into a top line in this draft, in this little range, unless you just really knock it out of the park. But that's the main reason I don't really like Lucius that much, is because of his skating. Again, he's not bad. It's just not, he's not like super quick. He's not super good at anything.
That sounds so mean.
I know it does.
No, I'm just, I know what you meant though. It's just,
it's like there are certain players that have like, this guy is an elite playmaker. And so, but you know, there's other areas of his game that need to come up. And then there's like Cornado, he's a great scorer, but there's a couple of areas in his game that have holes. Lucius is more well-rounded than a lot of those. So he probably has a higher floor, but maybe not as high of a ceiling.
He's a guy who might get drafted at center and get moved to like a third line wing.
Yeah, that's very possible too. I don't know. I watch way less European League stuff than I do NCAA and USHL and stuff like that. The USDP games, he's impressive, but he's not like over the top impressive to me. So while I would not dislike the Hawks to get him, I just also wonder if there are better options.
Yeah. And two of the better options that might be able to fall to the Blackhawks were like Jesper Wallstedt, who's the best goaltender in this draft, from the SHL, and then Atu Rahti, who started the year as like up there with Owen Power in terms of like who's going to be the number one pick, and then fell throughout the course of the year. But I think just like you don't put too much emphasis in what happened this season with the Blackhawks, don't put too much emphasis in what happened this season with prospects, maybe. So if you do that, Atu Rahti was still one of the best prospects heading into the year. If he falls to 11, that's an option.
Yeah. And the interesting story, if you've read, there's a great article about him on The Athletic that talked about his fall from grace. And some of it had to do with like the pressure getting to him and how he would work so hard. He would train so hard that he was tiring himself out for games. Now that sounds like a kid that cares a lot about being the best and being good. And during that process, he said that he kind of stopped liking hockey. Like he stopped loving it as a sport because he was trying too hard to be like perfect, to live up to these like expectations. If he came to the Blackhawks where he would be, you know, first of all, it'd be a couple of years, probably at least a year, if not more, he'd already be behind. Kane would still be here. Probably Taves would hopefully still be here. And those are the big ticket sellers, but he'd also be behind a hopefully first line center by that point, Doc, Alex DeBrincat, who should be known as a star in the NHL, Kubalik. You know, there are all these guys that could cushion him from needing to be that guy right away. And it would be a really good landing place for him, because every guy that I just mentioned, especially people like Kane and DeBrincat, they live and breathe hockey for the fun of it. You know, like it's fun and they're good at it. So it could be a really good situation for him if he landed with the Blackhawks.
Especially if they're able to get matchups. You can kind of shelter a guy like that and get him a nice, you know, so he can finish off somebody.
Yeah, and you're right. He's got a lot of talent. And I think people are going to be scared off by the fact that he might be I've seen the phrase head case.
And all hockey players are mental. They're nuts.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be opposed for them taking him either. And I think the situation in Chicago is as good as any place for him to land. great organization, already has people ahead of him in terms of who they're going to focus on. As long as people don't hype him up too much, I think he would be like to start so that he could become comfortable. And he did get better as the year went on. So like he hit his rock bottom and then got better. So yeah, I like him a lot. I also like Fabian Lysell. I think he could be really good. I think he has a bunch of top 10 skills. Like if he really should be in the top 10, but I think he's going to fall out of it. Good hands, good skating. I think he needs to like battle a little more, but I think he could be really good for the Blackhawks. And he's a right winger, which the Blackhawks, and I want to say a right shot, which the Blackhawks do not have a huge amount of either, not on the team currently and not in the prospect pool. So that's another guy that I think could be better than like Cornado, who I don't know why I keep saying his name like that. Like it's like, ugh, I don't want him, but I like him a lot. I just don't know if he's the right fit for the Blackhawks.
And he's being ranked anywhere from like 15th to 25th. So he's also a reach for the Blackhawks at 11.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Sure.
Yeah.
With them looking at forwards potentially, obviously in the first round at 11, you want a guy who within the first couple of years can factor into the lineup. Do you think having Reichel coming maybe soon, is it going to affect their decision at all?
The problem with Reichel is that we don't know where he's going to slot into the lineup, whether he, like as LVR said, if he's going to play center.
That's what I was thinking
been
too.
Doing, or if he's going to play wing. And we also don't know who his line mates are going to be. Like,
no, right. I'm with you.
Like, are Kane and DeBrincat are permanently assigned to Doc now? Is Kubalik always with Taves? Because that changes a lot. Like, if Reichel's best line mate possibly is Pia Suter or Vinny Hinostroza, that changes a lot versus like if he's playing on the wing with Taves and Kubalik.
Yeah.
I guess it depends if he becomes a finisher or not.
Yeah.
He's a little bit more balanced. We keep comparing him to like Teravainen and Schmaltz because of where he's picked and he's stylistically kind of in their range. I think he's more well-balanced than either one of them were when they came to the Hawks in terms of playmaking shooting, at least. He's not as creative as either one of them to me, but yeah. He battles more than both of them did.
Well, I know until they hit the NHL, it's all speculation too.
Yep.
But
I wonder which direction does Reichel shoot? I can't remember. I was like, if he's another left shot, I'm like, he does. He shoots left. So I don't know if he'd be put. Like, it's not that Kane has never played with people who shoot left. He obviously has, but he'd be better situated shooting. There's just so many. They have so many left shots in the prospect pool, and that matters less and less in the NHL today. Like, which side you're going to play on, who you're going to play on with. But it's always good to have some balance.
Yeah,
well, the way the Hawks offense works, like, it doesn't really matter, does it?
I mean, they only score off the rush right now, so.
It's like, just cut through the slot, put it on.
Hope for the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other news with shooting left is Dominik Kubalik also shoots left, so maybe not putting him with that line.
Yeah, they all shoot left. It's
Yeah.
But Taves and Kubalik also worked fine with other players who shoot left. But the Reichel has played more right wing than he has left wing when he was playing wing because he's kind of like Kane and has a very good backhand pass. So if all else fails, you know, you can put him on the right side and it'd probably be better.
Yeah.
And that line where with Saad, Taves, and Kubalik, they all shot left, didn't they?
Yeah. Jeez. They weren't as together as people seem to remember it. The playoffs, they were together a lot, but I don't even think that was one of the top five most common lines for the Blackhawks that year.
No, I think it was just so good in the playoffs that people were like,
they were so good against Edmonton.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. They were good against Edmonton, but who isn't?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm not sure we can hold that performance anymore.
Hell no.
Oh, Edmonton. I was going to mention one more person who I think might fall because he keeps getting put between like 4 and like 16th, and that's Mason McTavish.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's everything the Hawks might want in a player. He's got skill, but he's also like, he's a center who has also played some wing. He's not small. I think he's over 200 pounds already. And he's got really good skating for his size. He played in, I want to say, a Swiss league or the Czech league.
Mm-hmm. He played in the Swiss league.
Yeah. And he did very well there. And from what I have read, and I've seen a bunch of highlights of his, but mostly I'm remembering him from the year before when he played with the Petes in the OHL. And he was very good then. He wasn't quite a point per game, but he was better defensively than I think a lot of like 16, 17 year olds had a right to be. And he had better positioning he was playing mostly wing and center then, but he's a good, I think if we're looking at players that have like more concrete floors than necessarily high, high ceilings, I think he's one of those types of players.
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight we break down who will be cutting. Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack-It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smartfood, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4/3/2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Just imagine two other names, Kent Johnson and William E. Michaelins, who probably aren't going to follow the top 10, but there's possibilities too, but they absolutely should not, and they would be a steal at 11.
Yeah, Kent Johnson's great. He was...
At 27 points in 26 games in the NCAA. Like, that, if you're not taking that in the top 10, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, he played great for the University of Michigan. His underlying stats, his, like, micro-tracking stats are some of the best. Who was the other person you mentioned?
Eklund. Out of the SHL.
Oh, yeah, no, he's not. There's no way...
Yeah, there's no... 23 points in 40 games in the SHL. You've got to take that. And, like, he's being ranked, like, low enough, maybe, that he could potentially be... there for the Blackhawks, but at the same time,
the only reason I think he might go lower is because of his size. He's listed at 5'10". He doesn't look 5'10". He plays like a water bug. And anybody who is thinking a 5'10", 170 player can't be excellent in the NHL isn't paying attention to the Patrick Kanes of the NHL now.
Patrick Kane's and the Braden Points and the,
Everybody who came after Patrick Kane that has proved it too. And he's great. And I think that he will be ranked higher and be picked higher because he played like 40 games over some of these kids that in a men's league over some of these guys that only got to play like 20 games or, you know, 13 or whatever in other smaller leagues and stuff like that. So
yeah. Oh, by the way, McTavish is another left-handed shot.
They're all lefties.
He looks like he's comparable to Kubalik. Sort of. Like, the size and just playing that side. I don't know.
Actually, so he technically played center mostly. But he played right wing, I want to say, in some of the games too, but don't quote me.
They probably can move him around if he's that skilled.
Yeah, there's a lot of kids that are playing center right now that probably will not end up playing center in the NHL.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of the baseball thing. Draft shortstops because they can play anywhere sort of thing. Or yeah. It's like draft centers and then, you know. I mean, Kane was drafted as a center.
Yeah.
He just can't really play center.
No. He just drives like a center from the wing.
Yeah, exactly. But like going both ways, he just can't be bothered, but that's okay. It doesn't matter.
I'm trying to think of anybody else who is in that group that might jump up. It's hard to say. I know there are a couple of other SHL kids that are like ranked in the bottom teens that could come up if Bowman is still very into his like Swedish dream team.
Bowman's Swedish dream.
I mean, they want to play more Swedish totally for that in general.
Yeah, for sure. Well, they do good with their European prospects.
Yeah, which this will be, again, for the Blackhawks, it'll be interesting because they keep linking, and by they, I mean all the lists that do mock drafts, they keep linking the Blackhawks to mostly U.S. players because...
U.S.-Canadian. Yeah, because also Cole Sillinger probably around that range.
Yes, and they keep... But Sillinger played in the USHL this past season, so... So all of this is to say that the Blackhawks have a long history of picking from the USPD and the UHL because they see them a lot more. And there's nothing wrong with that. They also, it's good because you know that the kids will probably take at least a year or two to stay in school. And you can get free development that way. But I think they've done a better job drafting in Europe.
Well, I think their European scouts obviously know what they're doing, but they're also, they find guys who don't have a ton of hype surrounding them. Because how many times do they bring somebody over and we're like, who's that? And then they tear it up.
Well, they've technically only really had in the last couple of years of the like really good guys they found. Kubalik is...
Suter.
Yeah, but so you go, so it goes, Panarin is the best, obviously, but everybody knew Panarin was going to be good. He should have probably been picked up the year before that. If his contract with his KHL team had ended sooner, he could have gotten picked up a year earlier.
That was just the case of them getting to him before any other team.
Exactly. Does. They were just the lucky ones to grab him. But Kubalik was a big find. And then you've got Suter, who I think is the third best they've found. And then you've got Cahoon, who I thought he's better than what he's been traded around for to me. He's more balanced than that.
Yeah. Tavo.
And then if you go to their who they've drafted, Teravainen is awesome, obviously.
Wasn't he 11th overall?
No, he was like he was in the background.
He was late like 20s.
I think he was in the teens, but
maybe 17, something like that. I watched that draft. I don't know.
I want to say he was like 17th, but watch me be wrong. 18th, very close.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was towards the back.
Because Schmaltz was taken around the same thing, but they like jumped up for him because they didn't want they had a lower 20, like a mid 20s, and they jumped up to, I want to say 20th, but it could have been 19th. And because they didn't want St. Louis to grab him because they just wanted to jump above St. Louis. I remember everyone being like, that's hilarious at the time.
But I mean, the Blues had his brother.
Exactly. I don't think that's the reason. But he was apparently on their board, and the Blackhawks knew that. So they were like, we're just going to scoop this. Which is, you know, they were right. Maltz was a good player. Picking after, like, the 10th, everything after that drops. Like, the curve is, like, crazy. And picking in the back 10 of the first round is not that dissimilar from picking in, say, like the third round in terms of probability. So finding kids
in the Hawks have done good in the second round, though.
They have done pretty well in the second
round. Saad and Shaw is real late. Never mind. Shaw is like sixth round or something, right? DeBrinket came with the Saad from the Montreal pick, and then Saad, yeah.
The Blackhawks, in terms of like overall drafts, are like meh. But in terms of picking their first rounders and their second rounders, I think they're pretty good. They've only, under Bowman, they only had one first rounder that isn't playing in the NHL, and that was McNeil.
Yeah, poor McNeil.
Yeah. But everybody after that, Deneau, Kevin Hayes, Teravainen and Schmaltz, Hartman, he carved out a nice little niche type of playing and put up almost 0.5.
Point. Now he's got Kaprizov with him, so I mean that's not gonna hurt.
No, No, it's not. That,
the only fun thing that ever come out of Minnesota.
Every time, like, it doesn't matter. There's always one announcer that pronounces his name like Capri-Sun, and I just automatically think of that drink.
And he's going to carve the Hawks up, unfortunately, next year.
Yeah, it'll be the only time the Wild ever have carved.
Yeah.
I was gonna backtrack to the goalie. I actually don't want the Blackhawks to pick him.
Because it's too soon to Komesso?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like,
but at the same time, you take the best player available, and the best player, if the best player is available is Wellstedt, then.
Yeah, I get it. I just don't, in this type of draft where it's so loose, I don't know if he is the best. Like, if the Hawks pick him, they obviously think that. I wouldn't mind if the Blackhawks, because they just picked up, so they've got Komesso, they've got Lankanen, hopefully is going to be pretty good.
Bounce back next season, yeah.
And then they've got, what's the new little Swedish guy's, whose last
name? Soderblom.
Is it Soderblom or Soderblom?
Soderblom.
Blom. B-L-O-M. Awesome. Yeah. Like Klefbom.
I wouldn't, so the, out of the, he's leaving UMass, Philip Lindberg has been excellent in the NCAA, and he was drafted by, I'm blanking on what team, the Wild. He's drafted by the Wild. He's about to be 21. But either way, because he's an NCAA and he doesn't want to sign with the Wild, he's going to become an, his rights expire at the end of June. So he can sign with another club in July if they wanted to. I wouldn't mind the Blackhawks picking up him. I just don't know if a draft pick is the right route for a goalie.
Well, one idea I wanted to pose with that, because you guys, you're saying best player available. If you look at the next couple of years, if somehow the Hawks did get themselves in a place where they can really try to make one more run with Taves and Kane sort of thing, they might need to trade for like a top end forward or defenseman and use that pick, you know, as trade bait. If it's like, hey, we got to win now, and this guy's in the AHL or whatever.
Yeah, but it just depends on what that player is. Because I've seen the let's package it for Seth Jones, and I'm really against that.
Yes, same. I don't want Seth Jones. I'd take it.
I'm talking about maybe a rental. Like, it might have to be like the Taylor Hall situation. Like, if they're like, oh, we're good, we're going to compete, but we need this extra.
Oh, well, I don't think that would happen for this year.
Not this year, but I'm saying a couple years down the line, yeah. Maybe. It's possible. I don't think so either, but I don't want to be negative all the time.
Yeah. I could see that. I just, I don't know if there's, just speaking for this year, it'd have to be somebody pretty awesome to trade the 11th in this draft even. Again, it's, that seems like a really odd thing to say when it's not like the best draft and it's not like a top five pick and that kind of thing. But I don't know if there have been any rumors of players on the block that I would trade this pick for. And I can't speak to the future. I don't mind them trading late round first picks, but I don't know about mid round.
Yeah. I'm just saying, cause like, if you look at some of these guys who are wasting away, like there's a couple of guys in San Jose, like Carlson or Hurdle, who their San Jose is awful. Down the line, somebody like that who might be trying to get out of the team and the Hawks trying to make a run. It's just something they've done in the past, and I'm just thinking about it. That's all.
San Jose is an interesting team because their prospect pool is crap.
Yep. That's kind of what I'm saying, is they're going to have to rebuild eventually, right?
Yeah. Well, they have to rebuild now. There's no, like, they have to. Okay, so the Sharks are, they need to start rebuilding soon because their prospect pool isn't great. Their team is kind of below mediocre at this point. And they've got a top round pick this year, but that's not going to put them anywhere near contention in even the next few years. So they need to do what every other team that has done rebuilding, because they don't have that mini locked up.
At the same time, the people they do have locked up are some of the worst contracts in the NHL.
Yeah, but they don't, like, so they could totally.
They could eat it.
Well, I mean, it depends on what you want to, I think you could, like, Kane could get them a haul. He's only, he's 29 and his contract is 7, but if they eat like $1 million, they could probably get a decent haul for him. I don't think that they'd be able to trade Couture, even though he's really great still, but he's 32 and when does his fucking contract end? It goes on forever, I feel like. And it is like $8 million. I don't think anybody's going to touch Carlson.
I don't think anybody's touching the defense. I don't think anybody's touching the defenseman. Burns, Vlasic, or Vlasic. Vlasic is a problem. Vlasic's a worse contract than Brent Seabrook was for the Blackhawks.
Yeah, that's bad. I'm trying, like, and anybody under, like, I'm trying to, like, LeBlanc is there and he's good, but he's 25.
Hurdle's deal's not bad, is it?
No. He's like 5'6". It's only 1 year.
I mean, if he's on a good line, that guy would be tearing it up.
I think he's going to be their sell-off rental guy for next year. I think they're going to
keep
they can get a bigger package this summer, which I'm not sure they can. But he does also have a no-trade clause, so that could limit things a little bit. I don't know what the terms are for it.
They'll probably ask him for the list.
Oh, he has a three-team trade list. Yeah, he's going to screw his team over if they...
it's a Taylor Hall thing.
Yeah, exactly. Taylor Hall screwed Buffalo like crazy because he was like, the only place I'll go to is the Bruins.
He was fighting yesterday.
Yeah. Which I know a lot of people sidetracked, got all upset at the Leafs because they didn't get Hall. And I was like, Hall probably said no to them. They probably tried.
He said no to Vegas.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, the Toronto media is so pissed off at the Leafs for not getting Hall. And I'm like, Hall did not want to come to you, okay? The Leafs management should be criticized for certain things, but not getting Hall is not one of them.
Yeah, it was out of their control.
Yeah,
trading a first for Nick Foligno was different than not getting for Taylor Hall.
Yeah, they shouldn't have done that.
They should get shit on for that, for sure.
Like, your backup plan can't be shit. But, poor Buffalo. I mean, poor in that situation, at least. At least they're going to get power, so that's good.
It's weird how, like, we laugh at the Leafs, and then we just feel bad for the Sabres.
Because the Leafs are, like, obnoxious.
No, yeah, I know, but it's just funny. Like, I don't know.
The Leafs should absolutely also be better than they are.
Yeah, they shouldn't do with, like, they're cursed or something.
Their captain almost got killed. I watched that live and almost like fell off my chair.
Yeah, it was bad. And while Buffalo is just like, oh, that sucks. They're cursed in a completely different way. And they don't think they're great. They've never been like, yeah, we're going to be amazing.
They don't think they're the best fan base in the NHL, even though they might be.
Yeah, they honestly might be. You guys ever been there?
No,
it's cool. Like, it's a great city, but those people are cool, man. Like, they're really nice and they love their hockey.
The only person in my office ever who liked hockey enough that I could carry on a conversation with them was a Buffalo guy, and he was like the best. I think I told the story, but right after the Hawks won in 2015, he printed out this really big picture of them with the cup and put it in my cube for me, and that said Dynasty across it. And he was like, I'm so happy for you. And I was like, see, your team hasn't had anything in forever, but you're still happy for somebody whose team has had so much success in a really short period of time.
Because he knows what that means to a fan.
Yeah.
Yes. And they're a top 10 market year in and year out in terms of the playoffs, even though they never go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? And like Dave was saying, he was at the airport the other day and they didn't even have the games on in Chicago.
Oh, poor. We're all like, oh, Buffalo.
Chicago's ridiculous. So, like, they never, like, you go to the bars the Hawks aren't on, and they don't care about hockey. And it's just like, dude, come on. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I get to airport bar, but still, sorry. Moot true. Point.
I mean. do you guys want to finish maybe with, if you had to pick one of these kids, or you give like a top three, it doesn't even have to be in order, which three, who would you pick? Like, what would be your three?
And it's gotta be reasonable. So no Owen Power.
Yes. It's gotta be like anywhere plausible. Between ranked like five and below, because I think anybody ranked five or after is probably like in like the consensus of other people's like charts. So it could be, cause like, everybody except for the top three, really. Yeah, everybody after. So Power, Clark, Berniers, Hughes, Eklund, I think.
I mean, but some lists have Luke Hughes down near the Blackhawks. The Elite Prospects top 32 has Luke Hughes 11th. And while he's probably not going to follow the Blackhawks, that'd be amazing.
Okay, I'll accept that. I'll accept that as one of the ones. So you could pick three. One of them can be like probably not going to fall, but if they did, they would be my pick.
Yeah.
So what would your three be?
So this is hard. I didn't have three guys planned that they would possibly pick, but for me, I'm looking at all these. Yeah. Why don't you go first?
Yeah, you go first. You go first. LVR.
Mine would be, so I like Lysell. I like Kent Johnson, and then I like McTavish.
Okay.
Those are probably, I think Kent Johnson is the one that I think could fall. I think he's going to go higher than people think, but if he could fall to the 11th, I'd be really excited about that. I like Lysell a lot. I think he was really good in the few games that I've seen. He's not like super offensive, but he's very, very good. And then I think McTavish is super well-rounded and would be four level. And I like them better than most of the like US players they keep trying to stick with the Blackhawks and other picks.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Who goes next?
Well, I'll go next. No, you go next.
I'll just say, like, I'm kind of with you, LBR, on like McTavish and you said Johnson too, right?
Yeah. Kent Johnson, I think.
Because I like centers, and because they can be moved around, and you never know. Like, my whole point is a lot of these guys were the best player their whole life on every team, and then they get to the NHL, and you kind of figure out what they are. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, a guy like Camp was probably a huge scorer as a kid. You know what I mean? Well, maybe if he didn't shoot into the goalie. But so I kind of like the idea of them getting a center or a winger instead of like a defenseman, because they're going to be clogged up there, and then what do you do with everybody?
Yep.
Yeah. I like Wallstedt. I like Rotti, and I like I would love if Luke Hughes fell to the Blackhawks, because he has the potential to be the best of the three.
Do you want them to go after the goalie then?
I'm not sold on Kemeso. I know he had a really decent season in the NCAA this year, but I'm not sold on him yet. And the last two guys chosen in the top 10 among goaltenders are fantastic. Spencer Knight is fantastic. And then Askarov's going to be really good.
I just want to throw this out there. I think if we're having this discussion next season after an 82-game NHL season and a hopeful, like everybody else is playing and they can scout them, I think we're having a different discussion. But like you guys said earlier, it's such like a random, like, get the best thing you can. Who have you seen? It's so weird right now.
Yeah. And absolutely everybody that we just mentioned, all of the picks that Shepard just said, I would be 100% down for too. I mean, and then there's more. There's so many in there that I'm like, these are all good kids. Even though I feel like I've shit on him a little bit, I think Granato is a good kid too. And I would be happy if the Blackhawks got him.
If weirdly Dylan Gunther fell to the Blackhawks, that'd be great.
Oh, Dylan Gunther's good too. He had a great season.
You know what's going to happen, you guys. They're going to get Lucius, and then we're going to do all the Harry Potter gifts. But, you know, they do like their American players.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what everybody thought last year, though. And then they picked Reichel, so.
That's true.
People were not. Yeah, what do I mean? No, I mean, that's the thing. We're all like, yeah, but they love American players. And then suddenly you're like, but they also do like Europeans. So
maybe they like loved Americans and they traded them all away and were like, screw this.
Lucius is good too. I mean, it's not.
He has good stick work, but he's not fast, like you said.
Yeah, I don't think everybody needs to be a Blazer. And he does have pretty good agility. I just don't. His first step isn't impressive to me.
I just want them to get faster. Watching the playoffs is making me realize, like, how much. I mean, you guys have been watching the Avs night, obviously. Saad first forward into the zone. He's not even that fast, but like if he gets there first, the guys coming behind them are going right up there so fast, and it's ugh.
The Avs are such a good. They have been scoring almost entirely off the rush in that series. Not fully, but almost completely. And it's the Blackhawks are a similar. Hey, they want to score off the rush, but the Avs still put in the effort for zone and cycle time too. And they're able to, if they can't score off the rush chance isn't immediately like pushed back out of the zone.
Yeah. They're able to enter the friggin' zone.
And yeah. They're able to get rebound chances and get guys to the front of the net, which is the problem with Blackhawks have.
Yeah. It's part of the reason why people like Hagel so much is because he's not only fast, but he's not the best finisher, but he at least gets in there and often gets a second scoring chance opportunity if he can. So he's just not as better as a third liner.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I keep talking myself into these different scenarios. I don't think any of the four big D-men are going to fall.
No.
I don't think Hughes is the one that would fall either. For some reason, I keep thinking Edvinson is the one that would fall just because of his lack of offense.
Is it because Boqvist was the one who fell among his group 3 years ago, 2 years ago?
Maybe. I don't know. Boqvist didn't really fall in terms of the defenseman because he was always ranked. He was usually ranked second or third, and he did get picked third among the defensemen. It's just a bunch of the teams, instead of picking defensemen, they picked forwards. Because, like, Quinn Hughes was ranked usually, like, second or third, and then he, like, dropped a little bit, too.
Yeah. I just want to clarify my position on one thing. If they were able to get one of those upper echelon, like, defensemen, I would be all for that, like, a potential number one. I just don't want them to use the pick on a guy who's going to maybe not be there. You know what I mean? To have another kind of middle pairing guy.
Yeah, that's the last thing they need is another second or third pairing defenseman.
Yeah, that's all I meant by, like, when I said I don't want them to. If they're like, oh, yeah, like Hughes or, you know, these guys who are not going to drop, I'd be like, go for it.
It's just such an interesting, it's going to be such a weird draft. We keep coming back to that. It's just going to be a very, very weird draft.
Yep.
And watch them pick somebody randomly off the board.
Could happen.
It definitely could.
Oscar Olofsson. Yeah.
We're all going to be like, who?
Dylan Duke.
Ryder Korchak.
Yeah. Oh, man. See, I'm only going to name people that I know. Oh, one of the best names, though, Logan's Steak Oven, however you say his name.
Yep.
Yeah, Steak Oven. He's got a great last name. Like, I can't wait to
hear.
Only played
6 games in the WHL this season, which is not enough games for a good name.
Pretty sure he was hurt, but he's like, his last year was pretty good from what I understand. Not like exceptional, but like almost a point per game, like 10 less than a point per game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 48 and 49 and 59. A lot
and then
of
there's
these
also kids,
go ahead.
There's also Jack Barr from the Chicago Steel.
Yeah. The Chicago Steel won their championship and they looked really good doing it. And again, like we're talking about exposure, and some of these kids, like Stank Oven, is going to be judged on his season from last year mostly, which was very good, but you don't have a year this year, versus like Ratty, who had a bad year this year, but was prior to that very good. So it's like, how do you know some of these other kids wouldn't have dropped or have elevated themselves? And yeah, it's just going to be odd.
Yeah.
When I bet the Blackhawks are going to surprise us.
Well, hopefully you can only hope for the best.
Don't do another Kyle Beach.
Never again.
Best number 11 in the last maybe like 15 years, Kopitar?
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, Forsberg's good too, but I think Kopitar is way better overall, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes those guys fall like that.
I don't even think Kopitar was considered a reach at his draft year.
Although I think part of that is just because of the country he's from, I think.
Exactly. So he was like, people definitely thought that it was a reach at the time.
Yeah. Because nobody was coming out of Slovenia yet.
Nope. But yeah, like that's the hope that that's a perfect example of a league that's not scouted as much, but they picked that guy and he ended up being even better than normal. So we've got an entire draft that isn't scouted as much. So hopefully the Blackhawks just do a very good job. I trust their scouting more than I do their trade side of the GM stuff. So
yeah. Hopefully they just pull a Kopitar. Yeah.
You guys know how I feel about that after last off season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we've.
Yes. Probably. Yeah. I think we've reached the end of it here. Signing off. You can find Mill at Mill182 on Twitter. My Twitter is about to become about Southern Illinois, so probably don't follow me. LBR is not on Twitter, but she is all you can, as always, you can find her on secondcityhockey.com, and that's where you find all of us. We'll be writing about the draft and the two drafts coming up, because the expansion draft is also this season. So we'll be writing about those two drafts coming up. And you can expect to see more prospect individual profiles soon. So with that said, go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
Yes.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.